بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and dear brothers, from the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم we learn that Allah تبارك وتعالى has kept within the Islamic calendar certain special moments, special times, special places, special events, wherein the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blows very strongly upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna lillahi wa nafahat. Allah has these special moments, the month of Ramadan, and we all know the virtue, the bounties, the blessings in the month of Ramadan, the maghfirat of Allah, the rahmat of Allah, the closeness a person attains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The days of Muharram, the 10 days of Muharram. And with that we have the current season and period that we find ourselves in, which is known as the Mawsim, the season of Hajj, which in reality, ulama explain, commences from the time the Hilal and the moon for Eid has been sighted. The first of Shawwal, the month of Ramadan, comes to an end. Already the season of Hajj begins. And as the time goes on and we reach closer to the days of Hajj, we find the topic that will be discussed at the dastarkhan, at the table, outside the masjid, in the workplace, amongst friends and family, that whose name has come out, who are those fortunate ones who have been called and they will present themselves at Baytullah this year. And this becomes the topic of discussion. That so-and-so's name has come, he has booked his tickets, she is going, accommodation has been paid for, the package has been secured. And together with this, that yearning and desire comes into the heart that, oh Allah, if only my name could also be called. If only I also get that opportunity to present myself. This ulama explained, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الْإِيمَانِ, that in reality this yearning, this desire, that despite my current condition, sometimes a person has some physical illness, he can barely travel from Durban to Johannesburg, but the yearning and desire is there, oh Allah, if only I could also present myself at Baytullah. Sometimes financially, a person is barely making ends meet, and where the thought of going for Hajj and Umrah will ever cross his mind, but the yearning and desire is there within the heart, so and so is going, if only I also could go. This ulama says, min alamatil iman. It's an indication, a sign that a person has iman within his heart, that he wants to experience this journey of a lifetime and go and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel that closeness and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is the Mawsim, the season of Hajj, my dear brothers. But the reality is such that it will only be a select few, a very small percentage, who will be called for Hajj. Perhaps in one community of 1,000, 2,000 people, it will just be one or two individuals. The rest of us, as believers, as people of Iman, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand Allah has not left us handicapped. Allah has not left us that now your name has not been called, you will not be in the list of Hujjaj this year, so now you will be deprived of the reward. But Allah, in His mercy, His compassion, His love and kindness for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah gives us also the opportunity. That you might not have made it for the physical journey of Hajj. Those names have already been confirmed. The packages have already been booked. There's no more place for you. So this year, you will not be going physically for Hajj. But when we look into the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us on a daily basis, that while you may not go physically, but you have the opportunity to secure the reward of Hajj within your own home, within your local masjid. And when we look through these ahadith, we find four very simple actions. Of course, there are many others. But for simple actions, and perhaps actions that we may be doing every day, but without the intention, without the understanding, without the niyat. Wherein Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, a person who will do any of these actions, his reward will be the reward of the hajj. He will secure the same reward, the same benefit. One is the hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu anhu. A very simple action Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains. مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُتَطَهِّرًا إِلَىٰ صَلَاةٍ مَكْتُوبًا. That person who leaves home and proceeds for his fard salah. Something which we have to do. For the men folk, salah in the masjid is an absolute obligation. He is doing it every day, but just with a slight adjustment. مُتَطَهِّرًا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he takes care that I will make my wudu at home. I will not make wudu in the masjid, but before leaving home, I will leave in the state of taharat. I will make my wudu and go for salah. What does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? This small action, just taking care to make wudu at home. He is going to go to the masjid for salah. It will be the same amount of time, the same amount of effort. أَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِ الْمُحْرِمِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his reward will be like that of the haji in the state of ihram. The same reward that he will secure every step he takes, every tasbih he recites, every ayat of Quran he makes tilawat of, every dua that he makes before Allah. This person in his local masjid, driving him from home in his car to the masjid, walking to the masjid, but he leaves home in the state of wudu, he will secure the same reward of that haji. And here ulama explain what is the reward of the haji. What is the effort behind hajj? Those who have been for hajj and umrah, Allah take every one of us, they will understand the effort and the sacrifice behind it. One is the financial sacrifice, many a times the savings of a lifetime. And sometimes a person may save his entire life and still not have enough. The cost that is involved. And then the planning and preparation, book the tickets, find some suitable accommodation. Who am I traveling with? Sometimes his traveling companions are not suitable. Sometimes arguments break out. The tempers will flare. The accommodation wasn't sorted out on time. Food may be not to his liking. The weather is not conducive. He's not used to that type of heat. And all of this effort and sacrifice, that entire journey, 5 or 6 weeks he goes on. Sometimes the husband will leave his wife back home. Sometimes the parents will leave their children back home. And those pangs of separation, all of this effort, this qurbani, the sacrifice, the difficulty that it entails. And then he raises his hands and makes dua. And how those duas are readily accepted, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you get the same thing in your own home. In your own local masjid, just take care to make wudu at home. What ulama say many a times has become a dead sunnah, that now the wudu khana is there in the masjid. And if we look into the history of Islam, my dear brothers, we'll realize that in the early days of Islam, the masajid didn't have any facilities for wudu. This was a provision made primarily for the travelers, for those who, due to some circumstance, needed to make wudu in the masjid. So I will take care that before leaving home, I will come in the state of wudu. أَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِ الْمُحْرِمِ Then we have the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Again, a very simple amal, simple action, which many a times will not take more than 15 or 20 minutes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the person who performs his fajr salah in the masjid. And then, qa'ada yadhkurullah. He remains engaged in the remembrance of Allah, whether it be in some Quran tilawat. He is taking the name of Allah, he is reading some tasbihat, making some dua, until sunrise. And generally, the fajr time in many of our masajid is very close to sunrise. 10-15 minutes time will be sunrise after fajr. And then he stands up and he reads 2 rakats of salah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, for this person will be ka'ajri hajjatin wa umrah. He also will secure the reward of hajj and umrah. Just 2 rakats of salah, what we call salatul ishraq, after sunrise, approximately 10-12 minutes after sunrise. A person remains in the masjid and he reads the 2 rakats of salah. Just a little bit of effort before he starts his day. But he will secure the reward of hajj and umrah. What sounds unbelievable, my dear friends. And this also sounded unbelievable to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So they asked Nabi of Allah,
wrote Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will he really get that reward? One entire Hajj, one entire Umrah, maybe will this be a partial reward? Or perhaps it was a slip of the tongue, maybe the reward will be less. To emphasize, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, tamma, tamma, tamma. He will get the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. Just two rakats of salah in the morning. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. Something which is even easier than Salatul Usra, where a person doesn't even have to take out time from his schedule. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man sabbaha Allah mi'atan bil ghadat wa mi'atan bil ashi. A person will take the name of Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. If we have to calculate, what will take a person perhaps 3 or 4 minutes while driving home from the masjid, while en route to work, while preparing his breakfast. He doesn't even need to dedicate standalone time for this. But he remembers Allah. And we find the common theme in all of these amal, my dear brothers, is the consciousness of Allah. He left home, he was conscious enough to make wudu, I'm going for salah. He started his day with Fajr Salah, he was conscious enough, I need to dedicate some time to the ibadat of Allah. Turaqat Salatul Usraq. Here also in the morning, which is the busy part of the day, the children are getting ready. Work is about to start, he's got deadlines, he's got to be there on time. There's an appointment, there's a call he needs to take. But the consciousness of Allah is there. I'll start my day with the remembrance of Allah. In the evening, he winds down after a long day. He's tired, perhaps he hasn't even had lunch for the day. He's got so many things to sort out, he's got to get home. He just wants to rest. But there also the consciousness of Allah is there. He remembers Allah. He takes some time out to think of Allah. What will his reward be? من سبح الله مئة بالغداة ومئة بالعشي. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, tasbih, glorify Allah, praise Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. كَانَ كَمَنْ حَجَّ مِئَةَ مَرَّةً. He will be as, it will be as though he performed Hajj 100 times. 100 times Hajj reward. For the Haji, he's in Makkah Mukarramah, he's in Arafah, Mina, Muzdalifah. To remember Allah is easy. The entire environment is conducive. He's got no appointments, no work meetings. He's got no deadlines to meet. But this person, in his daily routine, where he's got work to attend to, he's got his family members to see to, he's got his chores, he's got all of his obligations. But he took time out to remember me. He took time out to think of me, his reward will be secured. 100 Hajj. And then the fourth action, which is extremely important in today's time, my dear brothers, and which we find, unfortunately, there is a great amount of weakness in this regard amongst us, is when it comes to respect and obedience to parents. The Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, inni ashtahi al-jihad wa la aqdiru alayhi. O Nabi of Allah, I see the others going in the path of Allah. They taking part in jihad, and the entire army is moving together. The spoils of war will come in. And the reward that they will secure, I also have a desire, I want to take part. But O Nabi of Allah, I don't have the means. I can't make it. I see others going. I'm desirous of joining them. What do I do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, that هَلْ بَقِيَ مِنْ وَالِدَيْكَ شَيْءٍ. Are any of your parents still alive? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, my mother is still living. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, فَأَبْلِ اللَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا. That present your obedience to your mother as an excuse in front of Allah. That, oh Allah, I couldn't make it for jihad, I was sin to my mother. I was making her khidmat, I was taking care of her. I kept her smiling, I kept her happy. If you will do this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَنْتَ مُجَاهِدٌ وَحَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ. You will be the true mujahid, your reward will be secure. Not only that, فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ, you will get the reward of hajj also. وَمُعْتَمِرٌ, you will get the reward of umrah also. Just in service to your parents, obedience to your parents, putting a smile on their face, keeping them happy. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, how many times we find, especially those of middle age, and now our parents have become elderly, the hair has turned grey, the bodies have become weak, they don't have the strength that they once had, the memory also becomes weak, they begin saying things out of turn, sometimes embarrassing. We have to cater for them. They can't eat everything that we're eating. It takes them long to get ready before we leave the home. And now I am in the prime of my youth. I've got wealth on my side. I've got strength on my side. And that same person forgets that it was only 20, 30, 40 years ago that I was dependent for every drop of milk on those same parents. Just to cleanse and purify myself, I was dependent on them. I was unable to take a step without their guiding hand. But now that the tables have turned, then how easy we find the statement comes onto the tongue that she has become a burden. He has become a burden. And I do not have time for them any longer. Understand the rewards that we are giving up, my dear friends. Especially during this season, the Mawsim, the season of Hajj, where the yearning and desire is there, that I also want to secure the reward of Hajj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, secure it in the home of your parents. Secure it in the obedience of your parents, in making khidmat for them, serving them. Just one incident for us to understand. A businessman mentioned to me once, he says that I was in the business with my father, and the business was founded by my father many years ago. He had his principles and his way of running the business, but he didn't know how to move with the times, as we say. As technology was coming in, the market was changing, and I would make suggestions to him that let's explore this avenue and let's try this. But he was very stubborn, and he was adamant that it's his way or the highway. He says it reached a point where it became a daily conflict between myself and my father, that we are losing money by not exploring this avenue. So he goes to an alim, pious person, what do I do? So the pious person asks him that your objective, your niyat, your intention in this business, what is your intention? Are you here to make money, or are you here to make your akhirah? Are you here to please Allah? He says, I'm here to please Allah. He says in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ. The pleasure of Allah is in pleasing your father. Do as your father says. He took the advice to heart. He says, a few years passed, and every day I would bite my tongue. When I would see money leaving the account, I would see our competitors progressing and how their businesses were booming. They were taking over the market, and we were still stagnant, not moving here, not moving there, barely making ends meet. But my father was happy. I put a smile on the face of my father. Nevertheless, few years passed, his father then passes away. And sometime thereafter, he's narrating the incident. He says, when I did some accounts of the business and my personal wealth and inheritance and whatever else it was, he says, today the condition that I am in financially, what Allah has blessed me with, my home, my car, holidays, and the luxuries that we have, he says, Mawlana, I take a qasam in Allah, that what Allah gave me today is 10 times what I would have anticipated. Had I run the business according to my principles, had I taken those chances, had I explored those avenues, what Allah would have given me, perhaps I would have got a certain amount. But in obedience to my father, in making him happy, what Allah gave me, I can't even explain to you. This is the barakah, this is the blessings. When a person will keep his parents happy, my dear brothers, regardless of our age, many a times we feel that this applies only to the youngsters, the youth. Person is in his teens, living under the roof of his parents, and now it's necessary for him to obey his parents. This is something that is applicable till our last moments. Even if I may be 50 years old, my mother, father, 70s, 80s, I am still very much their child. And it is still necessary upon me to please them, to keep them happy. So these few actions Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us, that although you may still be here within your own home, your own local masjid, and your name has not been called for the physical journey of Hajj, but spiritually, as far as your closeness to Allah is concerned, as far as securing the rewards are concerned, you have every opportunity. Whether it be making wudu and coming to the masjid, salatul usra, taking the name of Allah in the morning, in the evening, obedience to parents. Our deen has given us many opportunities, my dear brothers. Together with that, we know that in a few days' time, perhaps a week or so, we will be entering the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains also that there are no days in the entire Islamic calendar where good a'mal are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. Alama Jassas rahimahullah, one of the great ulama of the past, would say that whatever actions a person does within these 10 days, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah will place a seal upon it, and this is how he will conduct himself for the rest of the year. If a person will exert himself, he'll be in the masjid on time, he'll engage in some nafil ibadat, whether it be two rakats of salah extra for the day, some sadaqah, some charity that he gives, whatever efforts he will make in these 10 days, Allah will place a seal on him. Allah will give him tawfiq and ability for the rest of the year. And we can imagine the reverse of that. If a person will continue to break the commands of Allah, and he will not rid himself of his evil habits during these 10 days, then that too Allah will place a seal upon. And the rest of the year he will find it impossible to rid himself of his evil habits. So we have these beautiful moments, my dear brothers, the days of Hajj that will be coming, and the days of Qurbani, where we revisit the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We may be here in Durban, South Africa, we haven't even taken one step towards Makkah Mukarrama. But it does not mean that I also cannot secure those rewards. Allah has given us these opportunities for us to take advantage of them, for us to put our hands forward, our foot forward, and say, oh Allah, I'm ready to secure, I'm ready to take these rewards. Allah is prepared to dish them out on a daily basis. Show Allah our initiative, that I will start my day with the pleasure of Allah, with the obedience of Allah. I may slip during the day, but I have secured the reward of the Haji. Allah will protect me for the rest of the day and the rest of the year. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.